Then I saw heaven opened, and a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. His eyes were like flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. A name was written on him that no one understood except himself. He wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God. The armies of heaven, dressed in the finest of pure white linen, followed him on white horses. From his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a wine press. On his robe at his thigh was written this title, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's see. Oh my goodness, I think it's working now. Can you hear me now? I'm sorry, you guys. Oh, yes. Can you hear me? Tell me that. Tell me it's good now, because I see the little thingy going. I really do. I do need an assistant, because I'm trying to do all these things myself and run the show and push the buttons. And yay. Okay. Thank you so much. You guys are, you're the best. I apologize. I'm so glad to see you. I'll start over. Let's start over. Did you hear the music? I hope you did. I love that song. So this is my website right here, freedomforce.live or Melissa Red Pill. We look at the current events and the light of God's word. Today we're talking about Purim, because we're celebrating Purim, which is the great celebration of the annihilation of our enemies. Thank you, Lord, that these enemies will be gone from us. This is the promise in God's word. Yay, dancing. I see the dancing now instead of the alarms. That's awesome. You guys are the best. Anyway, so Purim is a celebration every March, and it's coming up this March 3rd. So we're preparing for that. We have completed, I think, 3 studies. This is our 4th one. And so I'll show you what, I'm going to kind of give you a rundown of what we've already done and where we're headed today. Today is the downfall of hateful Haman, which I'm going, yay, but boo. Every time we say Haman, we go boo, because the guy is so evil. He is the new world order of the Persian Empire. He was the creep of that day. So it's the same people that we're fighting to this day. These people who worship demons. Okay, that's just what it is. All right, so I'm going to show you how you can find this information on the website, melissaredpill.com. If you click right here and you just go right here, you'll see all of our videos, over 1,000 videos. You can see biblical astronomy. You can see how President Trump, the information about President Trump. You can see the lost tribes of Israel. Very, very important information if you haven't researched that. Also, how this is biblical. This is the end times for them and 1,000 years of peace for us. So a lot of the end times information is right here. So check into it if you haven't already. It's really, really good news, and it's bad news for the bad guys. And so these are the books that I have written. I've compiled it, and all the research that we've done and connecting the dots, because the Lord revealed this at the end. He said he wasn't going to reveal it until the end, and here he has revealed it. So this is the decode of Revelation, the true decode of Revelation, not what they told us. They got us all off the track. But the good news is his kingdom is coming, and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Also, we've got this is biblical. This is the 17 Bible stories about that we've heard all of our lives, but they are really were a roadmap for us about how we are entering into this beautiful day and how it's going to work. Really, many, many clues from the Bible stories that we've known. Just we didn't realize that God was laying out a path for us, which is so awesome. If you're not familiar with this book right here, Major Clues for Minor Prophets, definitely check into that, because now we know what the minor prophets were telling us. Haggai, Zephaniah, Zechariah, they were trying to tell us for end times people, us right here at the door of entering into the millennial kingdom, they were telling us about the wonderful, the wonderful truth that was going to happen, and also to prepare us for how it was going to go down and to be this great, valiant army. This is the most recent book that I've released, called The Golden Age. This is all about what is going to happen in the Golden Age, all the wonderful things that we have to look forward to. It's going to be amazing, and God told us, and I don't think any of us really had our thoughts seated on that, because many of us, not everyone, but many of us had our thoughts seated on leaving earth. And so this is the beautiful truth, that we're going to have beautiful, amazing days on earth. Health, wealth, peace. It's just going to be great. If you have read it already, please go ahead and put a review so everyone can get it in their feed. All right, so let's go talk about where we have already, what we've already done. On the first study, we learned, on this one right here, the end of the cabal, we learned that the original queen of Persia met her demise. We don't know exactly what happened to her, but she was no longer the queen. She was deposed, and then our wonderful Esther, or Hadassah in Hebrew, was raised to this position of authority. And that's what we are, being raised into the position of authority right now. This is what's happening with all of God's people all over the world. We are no longer going to be pushed down and having the boot on our throat. We're actually raising to positions of authority like Esther. So this book is not just a historical account. It's a story about us. It's a story about us coming into positions of power and removing the evildoers. And that's exactly what happened. So that's what happened in the first chapter. Then definitely, let's see, here's chapter two. This is on my, if you just go to the videos on Melissa Red Pill and you type in Esther, you'll be able to see this screen. So this is number two. It's the plot to kill us. This is what we learned in the second installment. We found out that they were trying to, they had an edict out from hateful Haman, who tricked the king into having a terrible edict to destroy all of God's people. Well, Mordecai, Esther's cousin, knew that that was not going to happen, but because God has a plan for God's people and he would not allow them to be annihilated. But it did show that they were going to have to fight. They were going to have to stand up for themselves. And it's exactly what we're seeing now. The edict for all that they've been trying to do to us in our day is not being stopped, but we are fighting back, right? It's the same type of thing. We're in a situation where we have to stand up for ourselves, much like they did in Esther's day. And so that's what that chapter was about. And then here was last week, how are they going to do that? And so that's why the chapter is entitled, or that video is entitled, Prayer Warrior. This is study number three. And so they all fasted and they prayed for 3 days. And we're going to talk about today how their prayers were answered and how they were led by the Spirit of the Lord on exactly what to do. And we're going to talk about how that all came out. And that's exactly what happens in prayer. When we pray, the biggest thing that happens is the guidance that we get from the Lord on what to do and how to do it and how he directs us. That is the, you know, it's, you know, we're not just sitting and waiting for the Lord to just do all this for us. He is wanting us to take ownership, to take authority, and to move into those positions, but doing it his way. And that's what's so wonderful about when, as we pray, the Lord leads us on what and how to do that. All right, so before we get started, we'll go ahead and pray, and then we're going to jump into the book of Esther, actually chapter 6. Let me move back to chapter 6. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this story. Thank you for this biblical account of what happened back in the day, thousands of years ago, but how you're using it to teach us how we can fight and take authority, and that we are your royal queen, and that we will rule and reign with you on this earth, and that we will cast out the evildoers just like Esther did, and all of God's people working along with her. We thank you, and we pray you'll help us as we study to really receive what this is, and that we'll look for your answers to prayer. As we pray, and we'll look for you to guide us, we'll look for how you have answered, and we'll give you the praise for how you have answered our prayers. We thank you that you have seen us through this far, and we're looking forward to Purim. We are really ready to see the end of our enemies this Purim. We would love it to be this Purim. We really would. All of us in here would agree, and we all say amen. All right, guys, let's get started. This is chapter 6, and so let's get started on the first answer to prayer. All right, so it says that night the king had trouble sleeping. So that's the first clue. Why is he having trouble sleeping? This is answer to prayer. I hadn't even gotten into like the first sentence out, and we see that the Lord has caused him to have a night where he cannot sleep, right? Very, very interesting way that the Lord does this. And that the cool thing in God's word, he has a verse that says in the Psalms, it says, the heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord. He turns it whithersoever he will. I love that in the King James, the whithersoever he will. The Lord is in control of people in authority. The Lord is in control of kings and all in authority. And in this case, all the people had been praying, and they had been fasting and for 3 days, no water, no food. And the Lord directed them, and he also answered their prayer on just causing the king not to be able to sleep. Now, one of the things I forgot to mention in the last chapter, one of the things that the Lord led Esther to do was to have a fancy dinner, and to not only invite the king, because he's the one who can make these decisions about hopefully reversing this edict, but also Haman. And I will tell you right now, if I were Esther, I would not invite him. I would not invite my enemy to the dinner, right? But this is about keeping your enemies close, right? This is exactly what President Trump has done. He has put these people who are our enemies, that maybe we don't recognize they're our enemies. They look like they're high and powerful and you know, respectful, whatever. And they are invited to the dinner, just like President Trump has them up sometimes, even in his cabinet he has, right? He's had a lot of people. I'm not going to go through the laundry list, but you know, these people have been put in these positions of power where they are right there, front and center. So that's what happens. The Lord led Esther to invite Haman. This is, again, not what, when we pray, the Lord leads us to do something that we would not necessarily normally do, but it is his divine plan, his great plan of wisdom. So we're going to see how this all plays out. And by the way, I'll remind you that, remember, her cousin Mordecai had really angered hateful Haman. Boo, right? Had really angered him because he would not bow down. He would not obey hateful Haman. And everyone else would bow down, but he would not. And that's just like us. We refuse to do what the New World Order says. We refuse to be quiet about their crimes. We refuse to stop posting. We refuse to take their jab. We refuse to do a lot of things that they have demanded that we do. We basically refuse to believe them. All right. And so it says, so while he's having trouble sleeping, what does he do? Here's another answer to prayer. He ordered an attendant to bring the book of the history of his reign so it could be read to him. All right, so there you go. Prayer answer number two. What, he could have done anything. He could have called a harem girl. He could have, you know, had brought some entertainment. He could have done 1,000 different things. What's he going to do in the middle of the night when he can't sleep? He has an attendant bring the history books to him. That is the Lord. That is the Lord. I mean, he's a big drinker. We know that. He could have gone and had something to drink. He could have, 1,000 things, but he had the attendant bring the book of history. All right. How about that? Isn't that awesome? Now, are you ready for answer to prayer number three? In those days, he discovered an account of how Mordecai had exposed the plot of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the eunuchs who had guarded the door to the king's private quarters. They had plotted to assassinate King Xerxes. That's the exact page the attendant turned to. Now, I don't know if the attendant did this on purpose. I don't know if it was just sometimes you open the Bible and you're like, bam, and then you look at a verse and it speaks right to you. It doesn't say, but I just think that's really, really awesome that this was this turned right to the page where Mordecai had saved the king's life. And this is definitely an answer to prayer, because Mordecai had never been received any commendation for this, never received any reward, never received any benefit for this, except, he was just obviously, Mordecai was a good man. And so, the fact that he was not, slighted or angry with the king because he didn't get any reward shows also what kind of man Mordecai was. So that is discovered in the books in the middle of the night. So within the first paragraph, we already see three answers to prayer. So that's why we always bathe everything that we do in prayer, because the Lord goes before us to answer our prayer. He alone can awaken the king in the middle of the night and have him open call the history books and open to the exact page to be read. It's amazing. This is going to happen so quick. It's just going to, make your head spin how quick everything can turn around. So it says in verse 3, what reward or recognition did we ever give Mordecai for this? And the king asked. The attendants replied, nothing has been done for him. That would have been written down. They write down everything, right? Just like sometimes you see President Trump and they say, oh, we had that conversation recorded on an audio recording. It's really, that's what happens in these levels of government. They record everything. Well, they didn't have audio recording, but they did write down exactly what happened on that day. And, Mordecai did not, if there was an award or recognition given to Mordecai, it would have been written down. Well, nothing had been done. And so the king said, who is that in the outer court? So somehow or another, his bedroom is close, or I guess maybe he's gone to another area to, I guess he's gotten up. I don't know what he's done. I guess he's gotten up and he's gone over to the court to be able to talk to this attendant. Maybe they didn't come. He's not reading a bedtime story. I guess he's up for the day. He's just said, forget it. And, you know, we've all been that way. You're like, okay, it's useless to sleep tonight. Just go ahead and get up and just start the day. Anyway, so he's wondering who is in the outer court. And as it happened, Haman had just arrived in the outer court of the palace to ask the people to impale Mordecai. He had a pole that had been prepared. I'm going to show you the last part of the last chapter. In chapter 5, he had a pole lifted up in his yard, in his property. Look at this on verse 14 of chapter 5. So Haman's wife Zeresh and all his friends suggested set up a sharpened pole that stands 70 feet tall. And in the morning, asked the king to impale Mordecai on it. Remember, he was at that party. He's like, I'm a big shot. I'm in with the king and the queen, and I'm all that. He was so prideful, but we know God's word says pride comes before a fall. So he says, when it's done, you can go and make merry to the banquet with the king. Go ahead and get this done. So then you can ask the king in the morning if he will tell him how terrible Mordecai is. And he will certainly, he's your bestie. And he has helped you plan this edict to destroy all the known world, all the of God's people throughout the world. So might as well go ahead and, while you're in the chips, go ahead and ask him to let you go ahead and let Mordecai be the first one to be killed. And it stands to reason. The king has already allowed him to do this edict with his very own signet ring, right? So that is what he's planning to do. That's what he's there to talk to the king about. And let's see if I can get back to that screen. Okay, here's going back to chapter 6. So yeah, he's over there to ask that very thing, but little does hateful Haman know, that the king has been up reading the history books about what Mordecai had done to save his life. And so he's going to see very clearly that Haman is wrong about these people. He's wrong about Mordecai. He's wrong about all these people that they have this edict to kill, and even to his wife. We'll get to that. All right. So he walks in. Haman's in the outer court. He says, bring him in. So Haman came in, and the king said, okay, he's going to ask him this question. But again, Haman thinks that he's talking about him. He says, what should I do to honor a man who truly pleases me? So hateful Haman, who is super prideful, thinks that surely the king is talking about him. He's talking about Mordecai, Haman's just dreaded enemy, the one he hates the most because he refuses to bow. Same with us. They hate us, y'all. Do you understand that? They absolutely hate us because we're no longer sheep. We're not only not sheep, we're awake, we are on to them, we're researching, and we're sharing this information like our hair's on fire, and they absolutely hate us. That's why they want to destroy us. He says, what should I do to honor a man who truly pleases me? Well, so Haman is going to respond like what he would like to have happen for him. Just, this is the funniest chapter in all of the word. It's really one of the funniest ones. Maybe the funnier one is when Balaam's donkey talks to him. That one, I like that one. Anyway, so Haman thought to himself, whom would the king wish to honor more than me? That must be talking about me. So he replied, if the king wishes to honor someone, he should bring out one of the king's own royal robes, as well as a horse that the king himself has ridden on, one with a royal emblem on its head. Let the robes and the horse be handed over to one of the king's most noble officials, and let them see that the man whom the king wishes to honor is dressed in the king's robes and led through the city square on the king's horse. Have the officials shout as they go, this is what the king does for someone he wishes to honor. That's what Haman said, and he fully thought that he was going to be the one on the king's horse with the royal robes being paraded around town. This is what the New World Order wants. They want to be paraded around and for everyone to look at them and say, look, see, bow down to these people. They're so amazing. These people make me scream. They're so disgustingly prideful, right? They're just more than I can bear. But yeah, so that's what he said to the king. And the king said, you know what? That's a great idea. What a great idea. Excellent, the king said to Haman. Quick. See how this whole chapter happens so quickly. Take the robes and my horse and do just as you have said for Mordecai the Jew. And I'm wondering if at that point the king remembered that, oh, I have an edict to kill all the Jews coming up. I don't know. I think this is all happening pretty fast for the king, too, that he's having an awakening moment, that these people, the Jews, are not the evil ones that he had been told that they were. And clearly with this whole thing with Mordecai doing the righteous act of saving the king's life and never even asking for recognition tells the king all he needs to know about the Jews. Now, there are some who've hijacked the name Jew, and I know that's a trigger word. There are those, as in God's word, it says in Revelation 2:9 and Revelation 3:9, there are those who claim to be Jews, but they're not. They're of the synagogue of Satan. But we're talking about true Jews. A Jew in God's word is those who love God. And they might not, you know, it's a very wide understanding. It's anyone who loves the Lord. And they might be of a different religion, to be honest. It's the Lord is looking at the heart. It's about the heart and the heart of attitude of respect and obedience to the Lord, not about someone's religion and whether they have every understanding exactly right. Anyway, so the king is understanding that these people are actually good. If Mordecai is any indication, they're all really good people, and he certainly does not want to get rid of these people who are literally saving his life. So do this all, put the royal robe, do the horse, all this for Mordecai, the one who sits at the gates of the palace. Leave nothing out that you suggested. Do all that you suggested. This will be great. So Haman took the robes and put them on Mordecai, placed him on the king's own horse, and led him through the city square, shouting, this is what the king does for someone he wishes to honor. Oh, that was just the most bitter pill ever. Let me just tell you something. Mordecai had day after day after day, imagine this, while everyone else would bow, he would stand up erect. He would not bow to this evil, hateful Haman. Just like us, we have day after day, we've been talking about the Epstein files, we've been exposing the evildoers, we've been exposing all these ones, everything that they've been doing, the Bill Gates and all of these people we've been exposing for all this time, and we've refused to just bow and just to let them do all these evil things. And so we're just getting his goat that he's the very one that he's having to parade around. And all the other people had seen Mordecai do this and how enraged Haman was, and they had seen him, I'm sure, it doesn't say this, but I'm sure they had seen hateful Haman, boo, yelling down at Mordecai, bow down, and he would refuse. Now, I don't know if someone ever tried to push him down. Either way, whatever it was, everybody in town knew that Mordecai was, very courageous and refused to bow down. It reminds me of that little meme. Remember that meme where it talks about there's, one person stands up and then the rest, everyone else starts to stand up. That's the moment right here is when they see the reversing of the curse. The name of this video is Reverse the Curse. When they see the reverse of the curse, they realize, I don't have to bow down to this man. I don't have to bow down. And all of our friends and family are right now with the awakening. They're realizing they don't have to bow down to believe whatever they're told on the news or believe in, these people that have been purported to be so great, whether it's in Hollywood or the media or in these judges or these officials. They're like, okay, wait, if there's this group of people are not bowing down. I'm not going to bow down either. All right. So Haman took the robes. He put them on. After this humiliation, Haman returned home. Mordecai returned to the palace gate, and Haman hurried home, dejected and completely humiliated. Yay. This is what's happening right now. Right now. Today is the 14th of February. Oh, by the way, happy Valentine's Day, everyone. I love you. I'm so glad that we're here together. I'm so glad we've been here and fighting together alongside each other for all these years in this battle. What a blessing it has been, and what an honor it's been. And here we are at the door of defeating our enemies. But, you know, right now they're being defeated and they're being humiliated. They're being humiliated. It's so great. They're being exposed before all the world. Like you've seen Mandelson, that was in his underpants. Remember that guy? He's been like the number two guy in all of London, and now he's been disgraced and he's had to be removed from his position of power. Another one, one woman who's connected to the Epstein files, they're just dominoes are falling. She just was removed. I can't remember her name right now. Was it one of the Rothschilds? Anyway, whatever, this high and mighty one, they're all being removed one after another. They're being exposed and humiliated before all the world, just like hateful Haman was completely dejected and humiliated. Yay! How awesome is that? How awesome is that? What is it, Songbird? 5 minutes. What do you need 5 minutes? What's going on? All right, so if there's something I need to do, let me know. It looks like everything's working. All right, so let's go on to, we're going to go on to that part. This is going to be now to chapter 7. Y'all ready? This is the day when hateful Haman is going to be absolutely, it's the end of it for him. He's already dejected and humiliated, and his wife realizes this is a bad omen. Let me see, I had a verse in there. Let me see. Maybe I didn't read it all. There was something about where his wife even said, wait, this is bad. Okay, yeah, I forgot that part. All right, on verse 13, Haman went home and told his wife everything that happened. Her name was Zeresh, and all his friends, he just said, you won't believe what happened today. You know, I had to parade Mordecai, my mortal enemy, throughout the streets. This is what's happening behind closed doors. They are saying these very ones who are we hate and we're trying to destroy, they have exposed us. They're out exposing us before all the world. They are beside themselves. They're completely humiliated. Yay! 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 Thank you, Lord, for answer to prayer. What an answer to prayer. Isn't this gigantic? So when Haman, and the fact that, you know, we got President Trump in there, who's turned it all around. By the way, and we're going to talk about this more tomorrow on our video, the 15th of February. We're going to be talking about, you know, this whole Epstein thing, you know, there. Oh, you know, President Trump is dirty. Clearly he's not in it, but he worked it in such a way to get them to hope that they could destroy him, that he got all of Congress, I think except for one person, to vote, Democrats and Republicans, to get to vote to release the Epstein files. And by law, they were forced to do it. It wasn't something that President Trump forced. It was something that they forced to happen in Congress. And now they're realizing it's the whole thing boomeranged on them. And it's not going to hurt President Trump, but it'll destroy the entire New World Order. So that's just so fun to see that boomerang. And then President Trump, you know, he could have vetoed it, but he didn't. So anyway, it's just all this, you know, this is the answer to prayer, that the Lord put him in this position and what he's doing to expose this entire rot of these criminals in this network. So look at what Zeresh says. She knows it's curtains. She says, this is the end of it. I can tell right now. Now I'm just going to say this, more than likely she was a negative Nelly anyway. She's probably a negative person and always looked at the things in the worst light. I just have a feeling that's just what she's about. But, and you know, from different things that she has said, you see that she's all about herself, all, you know, like she's saying, put a pole and impale him in our front yard. This woman is not a nice woman. Anyway, so since Mordecai, this man has humiliated you, is of Jewish birth, you will never succeed in your plans against him. it'll be fatal to continue to opposing him, which was true. She knew. She said, "This, forget it. Forget trying to go against the Jews at this point. Forget it." And she says, "It'll be fatal if you try to oppose him. The stars are in alignment for Mordecai and the Jews and not for you." So while they were still talking, the king's eunuchs arrived and quickly took Haman to the banquet Esther had prepared. Okay, so this is the thing, you know, you've got, you know, in these high levels of positions of authority, it's a double-edged sword. He's got this entourage that comes to escort him to the palace to have this dinner with the king and the queen, which is great. But the problem is now he's also, you know, because he gets all this accolades. Oh, look, he's being paraded through the streets. Everyone make way for Haman because he's in with all the top muckety mucks. Well, that also means that they are controlling every move he makes. They are, you know, they can go and round him up at any moment. We're going to find that that's going to happen in this next chapter. Same thing with, I think, of Hillary. You know, she has the Secret Service, and that sounds wonderful when they are protecting you and keeping you out of harm's way and keeping you from justice. But on the other hand, they know her every move, right? All right, so I just thought that was cool. Okay, so yeah, that's the end of chapter 6. Now to chapter 7. Now. All right, so now's the chapter where he's going to meet his end. I'm telling you the end, sorry. Spoiler alert. But I can't wait to tell you this. All right, so the king and Haman went to Queen Esther's banquet, her second banquet. Fancy, fancy banquet. On this second occasion, while they were drinking wine, the king again said to Esther, "Tell me what you want, Queen Esther. What is your request? I will give it to you, even if it's half of the kingdom." She has really done such a great job of you know, honoring him, and he already knows how much he really appreciates her. You know, if you remember when she was in the running for the queen, she followed everything that I can't remember his name right now, that the eunuch had told her what the king liked, how he liked to be treated, what kinds of foods he likes, what kind of everything that he likes. And so she took all of that to heart and was intent on doing the things to please him, in the things that she would wear, and the things that she would say, and the things that she would do, and the dinner, all of this. These were the things that he liked. And I will just say this to the ladies while you're listening. I think that that's a great wisdom, you know, to do the things for your husband that he likes. You know, we like a lot of things as girls, and we maybe focus on that. But sometimes, you know, we don't watch out. We can focus on what we like instead of what our husband likes. So really focus, especially today on Valentine's Day, on what your husband likes and the food that he would like to eat and the things that he would like to do, right? And that's exactly what Queen Esther did. She was so wise, and, you know, you can just win more flies with honey. So he's asking her, "What do you want?" She didn't tell him when she first appeared in the court, when he held out the golden scepter. She didn't tell him at the first banquet. And now here it is, the second banquet. "Tell me." She's built up this anticipation. "What is it that you want?" All right. So here she goes. Y'all ready? Queen Esther replied, "If I have found favor with the king." Okay, again, hear her humility. She's coming with a very humble approach. "If I have found favor with the king, and if it pleases the king to grant my request." Those are the first two things. If you are pleased with me, and if this request pleases you, I ask that for my life and the lives of my people to be spared. I'm sure he's like, "What do you mean? What do you mean, your life to be spared? For my people and I have been sold to those who would kill, slaughter, and annihilate us. If we had merely been sold as slaves, I could remain quiet, for that would be too trivial a matter to warrant disturbing the king." Listen to this. Do you hear what she's saying? She said, "We're in a position where we're going to be killed. And that's why I'm coming to you, because it's desperate. But she says, if it was just we're going to be slaves, I wouldn't bother you if we were just going to be enslaved. How is that for humility? She's telling him she really did not want to have to bother him and to come with him with another request. People are coming to him with requests all the time, and it's exhausting. And I'm sure they, maybe in those quiet moments, he had maybe told her that this was a big job that he had, and that people are always pulling on him, and he can't have a moment's peace. And so she's saying, I understand that you're in a position where you have a lot of pressure on you. The weight of the world is on your shoulders, and I would not bother you if it were not absolutely desperate. So again, I'm talking to the ladies. I think that when we show great respect and appreciation to our husbands, it just really makes them very, very happy. And they'll do anything in the world for us when they know that we just absolutely adore them and respect them and appreciate them. So let's make sure to do that, especially on Valentine's Day, right? But really every day. And it'll make your home a very harmonious place to be. And anything that they do that you can think of, I would just encourage you to tell them, what a great job they're doing and how much you honor them and appreciate them. I think that's a great thing to do for Valentine's Day and every day. All right, so that's what she asked. And he's shocked. He's already lost Vashti. And now someone has threatened her. Now, again, this was one of the things that she obeyed, honored Mordecai, and she never told that she was a Jew. And so he had no idea she was a Jew. Haman had no idea she was a Jew. And now all this has come to pass, and her life is threatened. The king's queen has been threatened to be killed. He says, who would do such a thing? Who would be so presumptuous as to touch you, the queen? You are the queen. She is, and let me just tell you something. This tells you also, she is not just a queen in name. She is a queen in, he appreciates that she's a very highly respectable person. Clearly, the way she presented herself before the court in the royal robes and the crown, she recognizes that, even though she's his wife, she's primarily his queen. And she recognizes that position and that honor and that respect and that level of how she presents herself. And, he does not want to lose someone like that who understands how to be a queen. Does that make sense, you guys? And that's for us. Do we understand how to be a queen, how to be in authority with Christ on this earth? We have to recognize our place, who we are, and that we have been raised into this position of authority to, yes, like Queen Esther will do, to remove the evildoers, and that we are royalty, and that we recognize that, and we present ourselves in that way, right? So he's like, who, if she was just a, Uh-oh, I lost my camera. My camera just went out. Okay. Let's see if I can figure out how to get the camera to go back. Why is... camera. That's weird. It's the light completely went out. That was weird. Okay, I'm back. Don't know why that happened. All right. Okay, y'all still hear me? Okay, you still see me. Okay, that was weird. All right, so... it's a really important piece of this whole thing that she, he respects her so much, he does not want anything to happen to her. He cannot replace her. She is irreplaceable. We have to be, in our relationship with our husband, irreplaceable. My husband just actually said that to me the other day. It was the sweetest thing he could say. He said he couldn't replace me, which was so sweetest thing for him to say. We want to be irreplaceable with our husbands. We want to be, irreplaceable to the Lord, that we are the ones he has put in this position for such a time as this. We're going to get to that verse. You know, we've already actually read that verse, but you know, we are in this position for a reason, and there's no other replacement for us. We are the ones who have to do this. This is not just a historical study and learning how to have a relationship with your husband, which it is, but it's a lesson on how we are to have authority in this earth and to be the queen next to Christ under his authority. Okay? That's really the role that we have, and we are not replaceable. There's no one else who can fulfill this role, and that's why the Lord raised you up to do this. All right, so the king, who would be so presumptuous? Okay, here we go. Y'all ready? Haman is sitting there, and I know he's probably, he should have brought Pampers. He's had a bad day, and it's only going to get worse. Esther replied, "This wicked Haman is our adversary and our enemy." That's her right there. That's a picture of the room. You see all these attendants here who are with the king and Haman. And there is Esther right there. He's the man. He's the one. Hateful Haman. Boo. All these other people, they went boo. I don't know. They probably did. They knew how hateful he was. So yeah, that's what she did. Oh my goodness. Haman grew pale with a fright before the king and the queen. He knew. He's seen it, and he's been part of it, to have people, you know, off with their head. Oh, this person has to die. He knew it was over. It was all but over. And it's curtains for him. He knew it was curtains. He grew pale with fright before the king and the queen. Everything went down like a stone. Then the king jumped to his feet in a rage and went out into the palace garden. I think this picture even shows kind of like some of these pictures don't depict it very well. But this one, actually, she was also on a couch. So this picture is not that great, but she was on some kind of a chair that she was seated on. And so this one's a little bit, I like this picture. I like it a lot, but it's a little bit dramatic, a little over the top. But I mean, I'm sure it was a dramatic moment. But it's like, oh, just, I think that he probably just fell to his knees. I don't think he could even stay in the chair. I think he just fell over just in fright. He was pale with terror. So, then the king jumped. When he went out to the palace garden, Haman stayed behind. He stayed behind. He knew better than to go try to talk to the king at that point. He knew better. He knew better. So he stayed back to plead for his life with Queen Esther. Well, let me just tell you something. You were not really that anxious to do anything for God's people. You had signed an edict for every one of them to be killed. Every one. Y'all, this is who we're talking about, who we're fighting. The Faucis, the Gates, they have literally had an edict out to destroy God's people all over the world, all of humanity. Anybody who was not part of their team, they were out to destroy. They've done this in a million different ways. So, I'm not feeling that forgiving at this moment. We shouldn't be forgiving. We should be where we hold him to account. Where we hold him to account, where he has to pay for his crimes. You know, mercy is great, but he has to go. He has to be punished for his evil crimes against the people. Just like the New World Order. We cannot have mercy on these people. No mercy. No deals. And so he's over there, and she's, and I think there's another picture. He goes to her couch, and so, let me see, I think I've got a better, let's see, here we go. There she is on this, like, a royal couch, and he's over there begging for his life. And so she's like, he's right up, looks like right up in her crotch. I mean, it's like, come on, dude. So she's, you know, being accosted, basically, by him, because he's so desperate, and he, you know, he does not have the same type of respect in the, like she does. And it's all coming out. It's all becoming obvious to the king. And you know, it's becoming obvious to everyone in the world that these people are not who they purported themselves to be, that they are pure evil. And that's what's so great about us sharing this information, because it really is revealing to everyone they're not someone who's respectful, and they're not someone we need to have around because they are pure evil. All the Epstein files that everyone's been reading. We've read them years ago, but people are reading this. They're like, oh my gosh, these people are pure evil. And so everybody's, you know, putting it all together. So the king finally put it together. He had an awakening moment. And so in despair, okay, so this guy fell on the couch where Esther was reclining just as the king was returning from the palace garden. And the king exclaimed, will he even assault the queen right here in the palace before my very eyes? he's incredulous. Will he? He's already plotted to kill her, and now here he's I'm right here, and he's doing this right in front of me. I mean, you do not treat a queen this way. Same thing for us. We are the queen. We are the bride of Christ, His precious one, the apple of His eye. You know, you do not treat them where you try to kill them. And so, yeah, this is not good. So he comes back in. Well, the attendants don't need any more discussion than that. They knew with him saying that, with the king saying, will he even do this in front of my very eyes? They knew they need to get Haman out of there. They need to get Haman out of there. So they went and they got Haman up and they covered his face. Let me see what that verse that says. As soon as the king spoke, his attendants covered Haman's face, signaling his doom. Like when they take someone out to like the hangman's noose, they cover their face. Yeah, it's that's exactly what they did. They covered his face. They went and they grabbed him. They covered his face and out he went. They got him out of there. Then Harbona, one of the king's eunuchs, said, Haman has he set up a sharpened pole that stands 75 feet tall in his own courtyard. In his own, you know, we don't even have to set one up because he actually already did that work for us. He had us, you know, set this up. It's in his own courtyard. He was wanting it for Mordecai. He intended to use it for Mordecai. But the one who saved the king from the assassination. This is the reverse of the curse. What they intended for us, they will get. The pit they dug for us, they will fall into. This is the boomerang. This is where it's reversed. And they are held to an account for their crimes against humanity. This is the moment we're waiting for. This is the celebration of Purim. Yes! Yay! And so the king ordered, then impale Haman on it. The king ordered. So they impaled Haman on the pole he had set up for Mordecai, and the king's anger subsided. That was it. That was it for Haman. That's the end of it for hateful Haman. Boo. I think I have a picture of this. Very interesting. They're asking, you know, was he hung? Was he impaled? Was he crucified even? Some people are asking. But here is what they would do. The Assyrians would do to their enemies. They would impale them. They would impale them on. Can you see that picture? They would impale them on a pole. And 75-foot pole. And then they would parade them around and carry them around as they're, or put, you know, stake them in the ground, and as a sign, a warning, as a victory over their enemies. And so this is the reverse of the curse, that Haman is the one who was impaled on the very scaffold that he had set up for Mordecai. This is where we are headed, you guys. We are headed for that. That all their evil plans that they had against us will be reversed, and they will be held to an account. They will be punished. They will be executed. Not us. Not us. Thank you, Lord. Isn't this the most amazing story? And this is why we celebrate Purim. This is why they didn't want us to celebrate Purim, because Purim is about the annihilation of the evildoers. They didn't want us to celebrate this because it would seed in our thoughts that one day the evildoers would be destroyed. And we didn't understand. We thought these people were great. And now they've gone down in everyone's eyes, just like they went down in the king's eyes. All right, so that's the end of chapter 7. So impale Haman on it. They impaled Haman on the pole he had set up for Mordecai. There you go. How about that? I love that. Thank you, Lord, for that amazing verse. So this is coming up on March 3rd, right? And so all we have now is Okay, next week we have chapters 8 and 9, because what's going to happen is, what are they going to do next? Well, the edict has already gone out, and what they say is that they cannot reverse the edict. But something else is going to happen. So read chapters 8 and 9 next. Okay, that's your next, that's your homework, is to read chapters 8 and 9. And then we're going to find out what's going to happen next. And so how are the people going to be rescued? Because just having Haman killed did not stop the edict out there. So how are they going to stop this terrible edict? All right, what are they going to do to complete this boomerang? All right, and so here is Purim coming up on March 3rd, 3-3. That's pretty cool. It's also the Purim festival, because it's the full moon, and it's not just a full moon, it's a blood moon. It's not just a blood moon, it's also where the moon is under the foot of Leo, the lion of the tribe of Judah, crushing our enemies underfoot. Isn't that awesome? He says, wait right here until I crush your enemies under your feet. This is what we are doing in concert with him. It's also potentially the 1335th day of the prophecy in Daniel chapter 12. Blessed are those who come to the 1335 days. I hope so. I'm ready for Purim. Who's ready for Purim? All right. I think that's everything. I wanted to show you today. And I think that's everything. And so here's another way to reverse the curse. Go to my health page, freedomforce.life/health, and you will find all kinds of great remedies, because this is one of the big ways that they have tried to damage our health. And so these are the ways that we're reversing the curse. You'll love it. This is all ways that we are detoxing and getting the minerals in us, the nutrients in us that we need, all these natural remedies that they hid from us. Thank you, Lord, for RFK exposing all this, bringing all this to light, and all these wonderful patriots who have created all these wonderful ways that we can take back our health. So check it out, freedomforce.live/health. It's amazing, amazing. So check it out. It's all really great news, because we have access to things that can help our health. And I'm just very thankful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are reversing the curse that was against us, the edict that was against us to destroy humanity. We praise you and thank you that we will live and our enemies will be gone. I thank you that you've raised us up to be your queen, that you're in this position of authority. Help us to live like the queen that we are, that we are set in this position for such a time as this, that you have raised us up for your very own reason, for your own purposes in this world. We praise you and thank you that you have saved us for the golden age, this beautiful day that we will witness, this beautiful time on earth where there'll be health and wealth and peace and joy and unity for everyone, and our enemies will be gone. We pray all this in your wonderful name, King Jesus. Amen. I love you guys. Don't forget to check out the book. If you haven't done a review, please go and do a review, because I know you guys love the books. I know you love all the things that you have learned from these books. So definitely do that. I would really, really appreciate it. And I guess we're going to go, and I will see you tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. I'll see you on YouTube, and I'll see you on Rumble. Rumble is Red Pill the World. I will see you then. Love you guys.
The fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a wine press. On his robe and his thigh was written this title: King of Kings and Lord of Lords.